Folks, he is risen. It would be so much better in other churches that, you know. He is risen. And then you say, hallelujah. And you say, he is not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. You know. And other churches, they would get all excited about that. You know, they jump up and clap and all. You know, folks, it is brilliant, isn't it? That there is no grave that we go to remember Jesus. There's no grave. Who here has been to Rome? Who's been to Rome? Okay. Amazing, isn't it? You know, when we see all these things. And when I went to Rome, they were able to show me the pillar that Jesus was bound to, you know, and all this sort of stuff. And do you know what? It was lovely to go to Rome. But you know what? It's not like the center that we all have to go to and to experience something, is it really? And I don't know who's been to the Holy Land. Who's been to the Holy Land here? And I would really love to go to the Holy Land. I really would. But we're going on a wee trip, a parish weekend or something, to the Holy Land. I would like to go there. We don't really need to go there, do we? Because he's not there, is he? He's risen. Hallelujah. He's risen. And I was just thinking about, as weird people do, thinking about graves this week. And I was looking at some inscriptions on headstones. I wonder if you heard this. Well, why don't I read a few of them to you and see if you can guess who they are of? Would that be good fun? Okay. Here's one. I am ready to meet my maker. This is written on the headstone. I am ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter. Anyone know who that is? Anyone guess? He's a dog. Churchill. Okay. That's on Churchill's grave. Okay. Now, here's one. You'll get this one. The best is yet to come. Who? Anyone? Sinatra. The best is yet to come. Now, I'm not going to ask you any more because you aren't doing very well. Okay. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Wait till you see what's written on his tombstone. Free at last, thank God Almighty, and free at last. Isn't that class? Now, you won't know this name, but there's a guy called Mel Blanc. Does anyone know who that is? Or Mel Blanc? And he's known as the man of 1,000 voices. And in the sort of Warner Brothers world, he did all the voices of all these characters. And do you know what it says on his tombstone? That's all, folks. Okay, that's all, folks. All right. Now, this is a wee test for you. People from Monaghan might get this, but maybe not everybody here. On Spike Milligan's, a famous comedian. Now, I don't even think I can pronounce this. On his gravestone, it says, Jurt me lat go rav me brioit. Okay, that's totally badly pronounced. Does anyone know what it means? I told you I was ill. Okay, I told you I was ill. That's what Spike Milligan has on his headstone. Well, I saw a headstone this week, and I don't think you're going to be able to see it on these screens, but don't worry, we're getting telly soon. And it's from a guy called Jack Lemmon. Now, who knows who Jack Lemmon is? Okay, a few people. Now, he's a famous actor, American. Okay, stop me if I'm wrong. And what's his famous movie? Some Like It Hot. Okay, it's about curry. He was in all these movies, quite successful actor and all that sort of stuff. But on his headstone is quite a strange thing. Three words, okay? Now, Jack Lemmon, obviously, if you think, you know the way on the old movie sort of screens it would have said, Jack Lemmon in, Some Like It Hot. Also, Jack Lemmon in, next picture, The Odd Couple, Jack Lemmon in, Grumpy Old Men, you know, that sort of thing. Well, his headstone looks like that screen, and it just says Jack Lemmon in with a grave there, you know. And the interesting thing about this guy is, this is true, he was born in a descending lift. He was born in an elevator going down, okay. And so what was often said about him is he was born going down, but for the rest of his life, he went up and up and up and won all these awards. You know, he was born going down, but for the rest of his life, he went up. But the reality is, he was born going down. He spent the rest of his life going up, but then he went down again, didn't he? because he's Jack Lemmon in a grave. But our Lord Jesus, if you read Philippians 2, he came into this world going down. Philippians 2 says, let me read it to you. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself down, taking the form of a servant down, being born in the likeness of men down, being found in human form down, he humbled himself down by becoming obedient to the point of death down, even death on a cross. That's how his 33 years went on this earth. But the difference is, then he went up. He ascended. It says then in Philippians 2, therefore God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus went down and down and down and down in his own descending elevator of humility, and then he went up and he never came down again. He went to the highest place of heaven. That's the story of the ascension. And that's what we're going to look at today. Now, really, ascension should be celebrated Thursday coming. That's Ascension Day, but we're doing it today because I really want to talk about it, and I don't think we talk about it enough. Basil's already read to us basically the situation. These two disciples, remember, on the road to Emmaus, encounter Jesus, not realizing it's Jesus, but in the breaking of the bread, they realize it's Jesus, and then he disappears. And then they run back to Jerusalem. They tell the other disciples, and into this, Jesus appears again to them. And then that begins kind of 40 days of touch me, feed me some fish, listen to me. There's healing, there's teaching, there's reconciliation, there's recommissioning for people like Peter and all the disciples. There's promise of the Holy Spirit and all that. And then we arrive here to the ascension. And the ascension is when Jesus just goes up and just goes up into the sky and goes to heaven. And that's what we want to look at today. And I want to look just very simply at the word up as it appears in this passage here, because up appears quite a lot. Has anybody seen the movie Up? Right, this talk's going to have nothing to do with that, so there you go. Up is what we're going to talk about. The first thing we see in verse 50 is it says, then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. So the first thing in our passage today to go up, before Jesus goes up, is his hands go up to bless the disciples. I just think it can never be said enough that Jesus and our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit is a blessing God. He's a blessing God. First and foremost, of course, he's got a hand of judgment. Of course, his hands against sin. Of course, his hands against evil. But first and foremost, his hands are blessing hands. You know, the first thing he does after he makes Adam and Eve is he blesses them. And his desire above all other desires is to bless you. That's his desire above all other desires is to bless you. I think we talked a few months ago about that brilliant song, The Blessing, that Tim Hughes and all those guys recorded. And then there was a Canadian blessing, and then there was an American blessing, an Australian blessing, and a Shankill blessing, and it was just blessings from everywhere. But it was really good, wasn't it, that during the pandemic, that the church would be blessing, just like God wants to bless. But I told you, I think, a few months ago that really that blessing was given to Aaron and the priests. And the idea was the guys who were involved in the sacrifice, who had their hands in the blood of sacrifice, were the people who raised their hands to pray this blessing and declare this blessing over the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The guys who had their hands in the sacrifice were the guys that proclaimed the blessing. And I wonder, have you ever thought of it, that when Jesus, and this is just my wee childish mind, thinks of things like this, but I wonder, do you ever think that when Jesus lifted up his hands on that mountain over the disciples, that when the disciples looked at his hands, they could see the sun through them? And why could they see the sun through his hands? Because there were nail holes in his hands. Isn't that right? There were nail holes in it. So he was lifting up these hands, and there was actually, you know, a shadow cast on the ground before them with hands with a hole in them. And you see, it's so very important, isn't it? That he's lifting up his hands to heaven, because that's where blessing comes from. But they can also see the nail-pierced hands, because that's why we get blessed. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That's the source, heaven. And this is the means, his cross. What a thing that he blesses the disciples before he goes. What a thing that he wants to bless us. Spurgeon says this: if he has blessed you, you shall be blessed. For there is no power in heaven or earth or hell that can reverse the blessing which he gives. You're blessed today. Remember, that's not a prayer. That ironic blessing that was prayed by Tim Hughes and all those singers, the Lord bless you and keep you. That's a declaration of your standing underneath the nail-pierced hands. That's a declaration. It's not something that you might get Simon to pray over you or each other to pray over you. That's something that we can say over you. You are blessed. And nobody can take that blessing away from you. First thing he lifts up is his hands. The second thing that we read about is verse 51. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up. He was carried up to heaven. He was carried up. You know, folks, for Luke, this is the key event. The key event in the whole story. And we must not miss it. I wonder if you ever heard the story about a man who bought a dog. And he believed the dog could do unusual things. He was a miracle dog. He believed this was a really special, special dog. And he was out one day with his friend. And his friend was a real skeptic about anything supernatural or whatever. But the man just kept on saying, this dog can do amazing things. Really amazing things. And at one stage in the day, they're sitting there. And the man throws a stick. And the stick goes out into the middle of the water, and the dog runs across the water, walks on the water, and puts his head down and lifts the stick out of the water. And the man who believes this is a miracle dog looks at his skeptical friend, and his skeptical friend hasn't been impressed one little bit by this. He hasn't even seemed like it's happened. So a bit later in the day, the dog sees a duck right in the middle of the pond, and again he runs across the water. And he goes and he grabs the duck and brings it back. And the man waits, and his friend's still not impressed. And they're driving home. And he says to him, mate, did you not notice anything at all special about my dog? He says, I noticed one thing. He can't swim. All right. Just incidentally, do you know what you call a dog that can't swim? A Land Rover. Those are jokes you only hear from a dad or in church. Folks, a Land Rover, you get it later. Okay, here's the thing. The ascension should not be missed. Like, we even did Hope Explored, which was a great course. As you know what Hope Explored did, it talked about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. It's almost like the church. We think that there's nothing spectacular about the fact that Jesus went out and just was lifted up before them. This is so incredible. This is like missing the fact that the dog is walking on the water. He was lifted up. And for Luke, this is the key moment in the story. And why do I say that? Because the way that Luke 24 ends is with the ascension. And then if you go to Acts chapter 1, okay, which for anyone who's been in the Bible study on Friday morning or for others that know about these things, Acts is the sequel to Luke, written again by Luke. Here's what Luke says in Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. Luke basically sees it like this. Chapter 1 of Jesus' work ends with the ascension. Chapter 2 starts with the ascension and the Holy Spirit coming. This is about Jesus' work, all that he began to do and teach. This is about, after Jesus left, all that the apostles started to do and teach in his name. Like the key moment, it's not just there's three things happen, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's that this ascension is so really, 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 really important that we must not miss it. It's so crucial. And here are some of the reasons why I think it's so, so, so crucial for you. Who likes Garth Brooks? Here, anybody? Lee, you don't like him either? I thought so. What is Garth Brooks saying? I've got friends in low places. Hello. Okay. He sings about I've got friends in low places. You have a friend in the highest place of heaven. That's what the ascension means. You have a friend in the highest place of heaven. The second thing it means is you've got a king in the highest place of heaven. Like if the world looks like chaos to you, we sang a few minutes ago, who brings our chaos back into order? We have a king in the highest place of heaven. Tim Keller says he's at the right hand of God as the executive director of history, directing everything for the benefit of the church. If you belong to Jesus, everything that happens ultimately happens for you. We've got a friend in heaven. We've got a king in heaven. We've got a representative in heaven. Like before the ascension, there was never a human sitting on the throne in heaven. But after Jesus came down and was incarnate, which means wrapped in meat, you know, wrapped in human flesh, he held on to that human flesh and he went up and sat on the throne in heaven. There is now a God-man sitting on the throne of heaven. And that's really significant because it means we don't have to shout at heaven and say, God, why are you doing this? We can whisper. Because we have a friend, a king, and a flesh God sitting on the throne of heaven. He's there. We've got an advocate in heaven. An advocate in heaven. It's like, you know, Johnny Depp has that lady, whatever her name is, and she's become really famous, his legal representative. We have a far better legal representative in heaven. And it's Jesus. Here's what it says. My dear children, 1 John chapter 2, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but the sins of the whole world. A famous writer of prayers and devotionals, a guy called Robert Murray McShane, maybe some of us use his Bible reading plan. He says this, if I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me. He's praying for you and he's appealing to the Father on your behalf. You have an advocate in heaven. And finally, although it's not final, there's so many more things I could say, you have a place in heaven. A place in heaven because of what Jesus has done. He says this in John 14, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. What a list of things that we must not miss by missing the ascension that we have. Let me see what we've got. A friend in heaven. A friend in high places, a king in heaven, he's in charge and he's going to make everything work out for his church. A representative in heaven, an advocate in heaven, and a place in heaven. He lifted up his hands, then he was carried up. Thirdly, verse 52, we read that they offered up worship. They offered up worship. You know, this word for worship is the first time that Luke ever uses the word. It's like he's saving it for a special occasion and he saves it for right here. They worship. And folks, it's only when we realize what this ascension means that we will worship. Like, a thing that's always just blown my mind since the day I discovered it is that Jesus was watching when Stephen worshiped him. In Acts chapter 7, by not denying his name, Jesus was watching. Because the heavens were opened and Stephen, as he was stoned, saw Jesus. And the amazing thing is that Jesus was not sitting on the throne. He was standing. And it's almost like Stephen was living in such a way, worshipping Jesus in such a way, not denying Jesus in such a way that it brought him to his feet. It's the only time in Scripture we read about Jesus on his feet in heaven. Because he's standing, almost applauding Stephen's faith. Worship. Jesus is interested in our worship. Revelation chapter 2. We see Jesus critiquing churches for their worship. 7 of them. And saying what he thinks about it. This worship that's offered to an ascended Jesus who's a friend in heaven, an advocate in heaven, a representative in heaven, making a place for us in heaven. He's there and he's worthy of worship. Is our worship worthy of him? We read different responses. They worship him. That means they give him honor. They return to Jerusalem. That means they give him their obedience to go back to a dangerous place. With joy, they were continually in the temple. They were evangelizing for Jesus in that. So we've said he lifted up his hands. We've said that he was carried up to heaven to be our advocate and friend in the highest place. We've said that they offered up worship. But then we read about these angels asking, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven?" I mean, these guys, you know, when Jesus is lifted, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, while they were gazing into heaven as he went. Like, what else would you do? You see Jesus' feet, his nail-pierced feet, going up into glory. What do you do? Only go like, what just happened? Stare up to heaven. What on earth has just happened? This is not normal. We need to have a Thursday to celebrate this every year. This is crazy. They look up into heaven. And the two angels, it's amazing. When you've just seen the person who has died and been resurrected, now lifted up into glory, two angels don't really blow your mind anymore. Because you're just like, angels, sorry, just give me a second. He just went up. Okay, the two angels said, "What are you looking at? Why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you saw him go." You know, there's two things, isn't there? There's people who spend all their time looking up into heaven. You know, and it's where all their thoughts are. And what people say about them is they're so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly use. Have you not heard that? They're so heavenly minded they're of no earthly use. They just spend all their time looking up into heaven, not doing the stuff that needs to be done. And these guys have been told to do some stuff. Go to Jerusalem, wait on the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be my witnesses. You're not going to spend all your time just looking up into heaven. We have work to do. We're influenced by Jesus going up into heaven, but that's not the end of the story, because Acts comes and it says these are the things that Jesus began to do and teach, but then through the Holy Spirit, he continued doing and teaching through his church. We can't spend our time just staring up into heaven. The second category of person is a person that never looks up into heaven. Has anybody seen the Netflix film Don't Look Up? Has anyone seen this yet? Oh, it's really popular here, isn't it? Okay. Well, basically what it is there's a planet-killing asteroid. It's not a true story. A planet-killing asteroid heading to hit the Earth. And Jennifer Lawrence and Leo DiCaprio are basically trying to convince the world, and they're just ignoring it because it's bad news, you know? And the idea is don't look up. Like, you can, if you look up, you can actually see the thing coming, but don't look up. Just ignore it. And some people do that, don't we? We ignore the fact that Jesus has went up, and also we ignore the fact that he's coming back again. He's going to come back again. And are we preparing for that coming back again? We should neither obsess with heaven to the point where we don't do anything on earth, but we shouldn't forget heaven. where we lose our sense of purpose on earth. And it would be so easy for the pandemic and all that to have taken our eyes off the whole nature of heaven and made us just think about, you know, doing the house up a bit nicer here. But we mustn't do that. We mustn't be don't look up people either. We mustn't be. I love what Martin Luther says. He says we should preach and live as if Christ was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is returning tomorrow. Martin Luther left out the ascension there, so I'm going to change it, because we should preach and live as if Christ was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, has just ascended into heaven, and is coming back tomorrow. Let's stand together. Folks, as we stand here, let's just hold out our hands to receive the blessing that has been already bought and paid for. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord God, give anyone here who thinks you don't love them your favor, a real sense of your favor, a real sense of your love for them. Show them your cross. Show them, Jesus, what you've already done for them. Show them how you've demonstrated your love for them already. Lord, if there's somebody here who's struggling for peace, show them that on the throne sits a God-man who is in control of the nations. They mightn't seem like they're in control right now, but he will draw all into order. And now to the God who lifted up his hands to bless us, was carried to the highest heaven. Let's lift up our eyes and our hearts to heaven. And let's lift up true worship to the one who is interested in our response to him. Let's be a church that looks to a risen, ascended Lord Jesus and gives him true worship and true honor and true renown. Let's lift up our voices now and sing.